Our reading today comes from the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, Lord Jesus, Your Word has been read and now it's time to be proclaimed. Lord God, I ask that You be with us, Father, Lord Jesus, in the power of the Spirit. Be with us, Lord God, in meditations that we form in our hearts, thoughts that we form in our minds and the words of my lips, that all of these may be pleasing and acceptable in Your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer, in Your Son's holy and life-giving name. Amen. Okay, question of the day. Why do people need Jesus? If you search the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, the authors of the New Testament seem to ask two questions. Who is Jesus anyway, and what did He come to do? What did Jesus do and how does it impact the lives of people, especially today, 2,000 years later? If we get the answers to those questions, then maybe we can understand why it is that people need Jesus. The biblical authors answer these questions in the titles and names that they gave Jesus. When they gave Jesus a name or a title, that was a way of answering the question, who is Jesus and what does He do? I have a very old Bible concordance in my office, and there are about 198 names or titles for Jesus in the New Testament. I have not found near that many. I think some of those names may be a stretch of the imagination. A newer concordance says there are 100 names or titles for Jesus, who He is, what He does. I have not found those 100 either, but I think 100 is a more realistic number. But honestly, I have not sat down and just tried counting and finding all of them. But off the top of your head, how many names or titles can you think of? Okay, now before we do that, Jesus. Jesus is His name, but it's also a title. It is who He is, and it's what He does. But okay, real quick, how many names or titles can you think of? Okay, you got Jesus, Christ, Lord, okay, Son of Man, okay, Son of God, okay, how about Son of David, King of the Jews, okay, you got Emmanuel, okay, Messiah, okay, there's many, many more. We're going to start with Jesus. Jesus is His name, but it's also a title. In biblical times, kids would usually be named a family name or a name with some meaning. But in Jesus' case, the angel Gabriel told Joseph in a dream and Mary at the Annunciation to name the baby Jesus. Okay? Joss and Jan getting ready to have a baby. I think everybody knows. I'm not surprising anybody. And they're going to name the little, they know it's a little girl, and they're going to name her Hazel. Hazel is a family name. Hubbards. Henry. Henry is a family name, but Jesus was not a family name. Gabriel would not have actually said Jesus, but he would have said Jehoshua, sometimes shortened into Yeshua, coming from two names. First one, Yahweh, the personal name for God. I am what I am. I am existence itself. And Yahshua, meaning save, deliverer, rescue. Jesus literally means Yahweh saves, Yahweh rescues, Yahweh delivers. Okay, shorten that. Jesus means rescuer, deliverer, savior. So we have His name, we have His identity. Okay, so what does Jesus save us from? That question has been asked ever since, I think, from the beginning. And the most common answer is Jesus saves us from ourselves. But each of us have our own list of what Jesus saves us from. But I would think for every human being, Jesus saves us from our brokenness. He saves us from our guilt. And of course, He saves us from our sin. and not if or when, but we wander from the path, Jesus pulls us back in the right direction. Jesus saves us from wanting to leave that path. He saves us when we do stray, and saves us from guilt that when we do. Jesus saves us from being self-focused. He saves us from being self-centered, saves us from focusing on the wrong things. Jesus saves us from lovelessness, saves us from hopelessness. With Jesus, we know there's somebody that always loves us. With Jesus, we know that there is always hope. He saves us from grief. He saves us from pain. Jesus just saves us. It does not mean we never feel those things, but Jesus will rescue and deliver us when we need rescuing, when we need delivering from those things. But the big thing, I guess you'd say the main thing, he saves us from death. Jesus offers us life and offers us life abundantly. When I look back at my life, I can see God, Jesus' hand in my life, and so many times guiding me, even when I did not ask to be guided, but needed to be, because maybe I was going in the wrong direction or getting ready to go in the wrong direction. But especially for those times I asked for his guidance, his help. Open the doors that need to be opened. Close the doors that need to be closed. In so many ways, Jesus saved me from one thing and saved me for something else. Okay, the most common name for Jesus is Jesus. And after Jesus, the second most common name is what? No. Okay, it's Lord. Calling Jesus Lord is the earliest confession or creed of the church that Jesus is Lord. Lord means master. Lord means sovereign ruler. It is the highest authority in a given realm. Jesus is also called Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. In that time, Jesus would have been called Jesus Bar Joseph. That kids were not given last names. They were known by whose son they were, meaning Jesus Bar Joseph, meaning Jesus, son of Joseph, or he would have been called, as he is in Scripture, Jesus of Nazareth. There were no last names, so you identified by whose son or where you came from. Christ means anointed with oil, and anointed with special oil means you were set apart for God, typically set apart to be a prophet or a priest or a king, as Jesus is. But most often a king. The word Christ signifies royalty, signifies power. We have elections and we get to choose who we want to rule. Just had a new president sworn in, or will tomorrow. And so who we want to be in power and person we want, may, who we vote for, may or may not always get elected. But you do get to choose who or what you want to be Lord and Master of your life. Is Jesus your Lord and Master? Or what else can it be? It can be money, can be power, be prestige, a house, a car, a truck, be so many other things. More often than not, it's ourselves. We set ourselves above everything else, even God. For believers, we say, Jesus, you are the highest authority in my life. You are the most important guiding force in my life. What did John the Baptist say? I must decrease and he must increase. Jesus said to save yourself, find yourself, you must die to yourself. Matthew quotes Isaiah. He calls Jesus Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. That when you call on Jesus and talk to Jesus, you are calling on and talking to the God that created the universe. That God, the same Creator God, is always with you no matter where you're at. That God came to us in the flesh in Jesus so we might know who God is and we might know God's will for our lives. There are other names that we find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but John, the Gospel of John, written after those other Gospels, and it seems John was written to answer our question today. Who is Jesus and what difference does he make? What does he do? Again, from the book of John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now when John says the Word became flesh, John is saying God's character. He's saying God's heart, God's desire, God's power, God's wisdom, God's personality, if God has a personality, God revealing himself to us, God wanting humanity to know who he is, what he is like, that the Word, God, became flesh and lived among us. And John tells us the Word, Jesus, was full of grace and truth, and in him we find life, and that life was the life for all people. And Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And I and the Father are one. So when we look at Jesus, we are getting the clear picture of who God is. And we get that picture by reading the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John. And in John, Jesus gives us, or John gives us, statements known as the I Am statements, seven of them. The first one, from John chapter 6. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. Chapter 8. Then Jesus spoke again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That you'll always have Jesus pointing the way for you. John chapter 10, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And again from chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus has done that for every one of you, for the world. From chapter 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. From chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's one of the most discussed verses in Scripture today, that so many people today thinking that, no, Jesus can't be the only way, that all these other religions, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, they all have to be the same way, you know, just another way to God, but that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through him, no other way. John chapter 15, the last one, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus Christ, you do not have life. You do not have it abundantly. So why do people need Jesus? Because there's something in us that is not complete until we have Jesus. That you're created in the image of God. And when we do not have Jesus, that image is not complete. And that image is always calling us, John Wesley called it prevenient grace, wooing us even before we know it, calling us to Jesus to complete that image. It takes a lifetime to do that, to just every day to grow in God, grow in Jesus. God coming to us in the flesh in Jesus and telling us, in me you will find mercy, you will find grace, you will find hope, you will find forgiveness, you will find love, you will find life, and you will be transformed into the people, be transformed into the person that God intended you to be. Jesus came to remake us, he came to recreate us, into the human beings God intended humanity to be, the person that God intended you to be. One thing you notice about Jesus is he spends so much of his time with those people over there, the poor, the disabled, the outcast, the sinners, the people that thought that God had forgotten about them, the people that thought that God did not want them, the people that the religious elite of that day said God does not want you anymore, that you've blown it too many times, or that they just do not follow all the prescribed rules. Jesus went out of his way to find and attract those people, and he treated them with mercy, he treated them with grace, he treated them with compassion, as scripture tells us so many times. He treated them with acceptance, and he treated them especially with the love of God, telling them that God wants them. Jesus told parables, stories to tell people about God. He told a parable about a shepherd that had 100 sheep. And what did he do when one wandered off? He left the 99 of them to go in search of that one sheep to bring it home. And Jesus says, that is God. Jesus told a parable of the prodigal son. Two brothers working with their dad. One of the sons stayed home and did all that he was expected to do. And the other, he just had an itch that he just couldn't scratch. And he told his dad he wanted his inheritance. So he leaves home, he goes out and he parties it all away, squanders everything he has, makes a mess of his life. And he ends up in a pig pen and finally gets to a point that he says, maybe if I would just go home, hopefully dad will at least take me back as a slave. That even as one of his slaves, I will have it better than I have right now. And Jesus tells this parable to a group of sinners with the religious elite listening in. And Jesus said when the father saw his son coming home, that the father ran to him. And what does scripture say? He ran to him. Now if you picture this, the one thing about this robe, I got to pick it up when I step up, so I step on it. This man picking his robe up, they didn't wear blue jeans or pants in that day, picking his robe up, running, and he got to his son, he put his arm around him, and what does scripture say? He hugged him, and what does it say? He kissed him. He kissed his son, the son that was dirty and probably stinky, been in a pig pen, but he had compassion for him. He said, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on him, put some shoes on, put some sandals on him because he didn't have any. And let's have a celebration. Killed a fatted calf. What does it say? My son was lost, but now he was found. But what is it? My son was dead, but now he is alive. Jesus saying, this is what my father is like. That this is what God is like. No matter where you wander off to, no matter how dirty you get, that God wants you back. In the book of Luke, Jesus is eating in a Pharisee's house, and a woman, a sinner, comes in, who washes Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair, anoints him with oil, and Jesus, showing her mercy and grace, even though everybody else in the room is shunning her. And I picture Jesus and her alone in one corner, and everybody else just getting as far away from her as they can, and they just do not understand why Jesus is not pushing her away. But what does Jesus do? He offers her mercy and grace and forgiveness. Jesus is telling us his Father, your Father, loves you. And it does not matter what you have done, how far we have wandered away, that God loves you and God wants you and that God offers you forgiveness. And what the book of John tells us, that Jesus came to his own, and what his own did not receive him, but to all that did receive him, he gives eternal life. How do you respond to that? All it takes is a simple three-letter word. Yes. Yes, Father. Yes, Jesus. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Master. I want you to be my rescuer. I want you to be my deliverer. I give my life, my heart, my mind, all of my strength. I give you my worship and praise and glory this day and every day. Be my Lord and Master. Receive Jesus Christ today. Yes, it's a one-time thing, but yes, it's also an everyday thing. You know, I've said this so many times, every day, soon as you open your eyes, maybe even before you roll out of bed, as soon as you roll out of bed, God, thank you for this day. Lead me, guide me, be my Lord, my Master, my Rescuer, my Deliverer, Jesus Christ, both today and every day. Do not miss this chance. Say yes to Jesus today. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks for sending your Son to us. Lord God, may we this day and every day, Lord God, receive you into our lives, that you will be our Lord, our Master, our Deliverer, our Rescuer. And Lord, if there's anything we need delivering or rescuing from, you know what it is. Deliver us this day, Father, Lord Jesus, as we receive you into our life. In your Son's holy and life-giving name, amen.